Paul laid hands on them. They weren't in the meeting, but they took that to sick people. They took that to people who were oppressed by demons. And what that same power, what? It was transcendent. And so here's the thing. If the blessing's not only on what you gave this morning, which it is for the work of the ministry, but the blessing's also on that 90%. And so you send it out to pay bills or whatever it is. Man, I'm telling you what. You believe God, here's an avenue for God to get into my mortgage company. You know, everybody's griping about, you know, AIG and everybody else. Well, do something about it. We already got enough people griping. That's covered. The complaints are covered. Isn't that true? What we need to do is do something about it. So, man, if you send that mortgage payment into your bank, you just know, okay, listen, this mortgage payment, it's got the blessing of God on it. It's going in there. I'm telling you what, God's going to move in that banking institution. God's going to move for salvation. God's going to move on those people. How many of you know bankers need to be saved too? I knew I'd get an amen out of that. Well, real quickly, I only got just a few minutes before we have to dismiss out to the lobby. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. You know this story. For brevity of time, I'm just going to go over, but you know the story. It's where Jesus, he gives the parable about the kingdom of God. And he said it's like this. He said it's like the owner going off on a journey. He gives 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent to 3 of his servants. Okay? He said, take these, use them, and bring increase. So they had, along with the talents, the gifts, they had been given what? Responsibility. Responsibility. Now, I know in our day and age, that's not a term that you hear a lot about. Responsibility. We all want the benefit. But in God, along with benefit, is responsibility. God's real old-fashioned that way. He's real old-fashioned. Because, listen, benefit without responsibility will breed irresponsible, undisciplined people. And those people will never be able to produce and be fruitful. And God does expect us to produce and be fruitful. Can I hear a holy grunt somewhere? So faithfulness, so we have a responsibility to use the gifts and develop them. An account will be given to everyone. Turn over, if you would, to look in Romans 14. Turn over there real quickly. How many of you know that everyone, we've been talking about this, everyone's been given a gift. You have been given a gift from God. You say, well, I'm not sure what it is. Well, that's what we've been talking about. And we're going to continue to teach on it and to help you to discover it. One of the reasons we're having the ministry fair out here as a part of the service today, we're dismissing early and going out there, is because that is a way for you to discover. You know how you discover what you can do? Start doing something. Isn't that right? It's just that simple. Nobody ever learned to drive a car that didn't get behind the wheel. Isn't that true? Sure. Romans 14, verse 12, it says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Well, what's that thing we're going to give an account for? He's talking to believers here. Well, we're not going to give an account, about did we do enough works to get saved, because we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace, aren't we? So when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not about whether or not we make it to heaven or not. That's decided here. If it ain't decided here, honey, then you ain't going. It's decided here. It's not by works. So what is this thing he's talking about where we have to give an accountability? It's about the gifts and abilities he's given us and the charge he's given us to faithfully begin to use them. And if we don't use them, then there is going to be, the Bible is very clear that there's going to be loss. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 real quickly. There will be loss. See, I've heard a lot of people, well, if I just get into heaven, I'll be satisfied. Well, that's not the attitude God wants you to have. Thank God you're on your way to heaven. Thank God for that. We rejoice in that. But listen, did you know the Bible says that if you read over there in Revelation, it says God will wipe away every tear. So there's going to be some tears in heaven. Otherwise, what would there be to wipe away? Well, what are the tears going to be that's going to be wiped away? This may be one area of it. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's pick it up. Let's look in. Let's pick it up at about 10. For by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, that's salvation. That's what we call salvation, the new birth. Okay, now he says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, what day? The day we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the day will bring it to light. And it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he receives his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping the flames. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about, okay, there's only one foundation for salvation. That's by faith through the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. That's settled. But then he says there's something that's being built upon it. Do you know that every day you're building something upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Every day. He says you're building. Either you're building with silver, gold, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. The silver, the gold, the costly stones, what is that? That is the graces of God that he has put within our lives. And a part of that are these gifts. As we are using these gifts, as we are faithful in serving with these gifts, we are building upon that foundation. And what we built upon it is going to remain. And because we built upon it correctly, we will receive what? A reward. Now, think about how great it is just to miss hell and make heaven. I dare say every one of us would probably say, Lord, that's enough. Wouldn't we? But God says, on top of that, there is more to be gained. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I want to gain some of that. Don't you? I want to gain some of that. We're going to talk about what some of those rewards are here real quickly. And why they're so valuable, and why you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only one up there without any of the rewards that he's talking about. So faithfulness is required. Amen. In Matthew 25. You remember the one with five, he said, Lord, I went out. He said, I used the five. What? Five more were gained. The two went out. He said, I used the two, and two more increased. Here's the key to the kingdom. If you will just use what you got. Use what you got. You know, it didn't say anything here about, you know, whether they made any mistakes, whether they failed, whether they had setbacks, and then they recouped. It didn't. All it said is that in the process between the Lord, what, giving them those abilities and gifts, and the time he came back again, that it increased, you know, it had doubled. So here's the thing. If you will just start using what you have. Amen. Use what you have. He said, what? Increase is going to come. Why? Because God gives the increase. Amen? God gives the increase. I can plant, I can water, but only God can give the increase. So here's the thing. And you know what? The more you use something, the better, the stronger it will get. The more it will produce. The more fruitful it will become. The more God will use it in your life. But everybody, you got to start somewhere. Remember the first time you ever tried to ride a bicycle? Probably most of us didn't do it the first time perfectly, did we? Might have went a little ways. But we got back up. You say, why did you get back up? Because I wanted the joy of riding a bicycle. Isn't that right? Well, we want the joy on that day when we hear him say, well done. Boy, I'm telling you what, Brother Rick. If I hear that, I'm telling you what, the rest of eternity, it'll all be gravy after that. If I can just hear Jesus say, well done. Two small words. Well done. Amen. So here's the thing. So we need to build on it. Now notice the one who hid his, he did it what? Out of fear. Out of fear. Fear will always rob you. I don't care what area it is in the kingdom. Fear will always rob you. And in this area of serving, you say, well, I don't know how to do it. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right. And what if I mess up? And what if I make a mistake? Then you'll be just like all the rest of us. My goodness. I've been doing this almost 30 years. You know what? In 30 years, you know what? You get a lot of opportunity to see God do a lot of good things. But you know what? You sure also get a lot of opportunities to make a lot of mistakes. And I'll tell you what, if you start looking at the mistakes, Gary, you start looking at, I could have done this better, and I should have done that, and I didn't do this, and I should have done that. My goodness, if you start doing that, you just throw in the towel. But you know what? You just got to get in there. You got to roll up your sleeve and say, bless God, God, I'm telling you what, I ain't got a clue about how this works, but I'm going to start. I'm going to start right here. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to get busy. Amen. And yeah, you'll make some mistakes, but join the rest of us. But you know what? You'll also see blessing. You'll also see lives change. You'll also see God glorified in a greater measure through your life. I want to read you something real quickly here. I probably shared this before, but it's been a while. But it's real apropos this morning because I got just a few short more minutes. There's a cathedral in Milan, the Cathedral of Milan. And part of its design is it's got triple arches. You know, it's got one arch here in the middle and then one on either side. And on one of the arches on one side, it says, all that which pleases is but for a moment. Isn't that true? Man, you get that new car, smell the leather. You smell that boy. Man, I love to smell the leather of a new car. Doesn't it smell good? Man, maybe it's, you know, boy, maybe it's a sport model. Maybe, you know, it's got the 20-inch rims and it's got all the bling on it, man, you know. Maybe like Chad, he's got a classic power car, man. Was it Roadrunner? Is that what you get? Charger, man. Every time he comes over the house and I see him in that thing, man, I'm reliving my high school day. Yeah, Hurst shifter. You know what? But all of that, what? It only lasts for a season, doesn't it? Beauty lasts for a season. The strength. Remember, guys, when you were 20? Oh, God, bring on the world. 30 or 40 years later, it's a little different. What? Nothing. That's all I said. Nothing lasts. On the other side, it says, all that which troubles is but for a moment. Isn't it true? I like what Brother Osteen used to say, John Osteen, he said, and it came to pass. Isn't it true? You know, things I look back, Cindy, I can look back at things that hit Cindy and I in our life because, you know, same things hit you, hit us. The troubles in life, all the things that hit us. And at the moment, I mean, boy, that thing said, this is it. Boy, you're never going to make it this time. This is the big one. This is the one that's going to get you. This is the one that's going to sink you. I'm still here. So are you. Hallelujah. It passes. But in that center arch is written this. That only is important, which is eternal. And when you take the gift of God and the grace of God that's in you and you begin to serve, you begin to serve others. You know what? That is eternal. That is laying up what? That is laying up rewards that will never pass away. That new car passes away. Beauty and strength passes away. All the troubles pass away. No matter how much money you've earned, sooner or later, if the Lord tarries, somebody else will spend it. But what? What we're talking about. The simple thing, as simple as it seems, you mean me just getting up here and leading in worship, me just being an usher or being a greeter or working with the children or working in the prayer? Absolutely. You're laying up eternal, more valuable than any IRA you may have. The great reformer Martin Luther, he said this. He said there are only 2 days of importance on my calendar. He said that's today and that day I appear before the Lord. Amen. That's some good wisdom, isn't it? And so as we use the gift that God's given us, no matter how simple, no matter how to you insignificant it may seem, we get busy and we begin to use it. He says, you're laying up treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, he said, inflation, deflation, moss and rust. It will not affect it. It will not touch it. You know, the thing about the rewards of heaven, you know, eternal things, there's this principle, eternal things never get old. You never get tired of them. They never cease to bring the same joy they did the moment you first discovered them. Eternal things are that way. Why? Because there's constantly life going through it. You know, you get that new car, man, and it's, you smell that leather and it smells so good. Man, and you know, you're having fun with the GPS. And you're riding down the road, you know, looking cool with the bling on it. You know. But you know, about the time that you get to that, you know, that 30th coupon payment. The bling has blown. I know that's not a word, but anyway. You know, now you got to hang up one of those things to get any kind of smell in there, you know. It just don't have that same old zing, does it? Because what? It's not life-giving like eternal things are. The day of reigning. It's the day of revelation. Real quickly here, and then I'm going to dismiss us outside there. The Bible speaks of five crowns that the believer can win. I want to share these with you real quickly, and then we're going to dismiss out to the lobby. The first one is this, the crown of righteousness. This is for those who love the thought of Jesus' return and for those who have experienced its purifying effect. In 2 Timothy 4, real quickly, let me read one scripture here referencing this. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4:7 Crown of righteousness. Verse 7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed and loved his appearing. I want a crown of righteousness. I want a crown. Man, I don't want to be the only one walking around up there. Bald headed. I want a crown. Crown of righteousness. Isn't that right? And you know, if we love his appearing, you know what? We're going to be faithful. Because we know our faithfulness is tied to eternity. Amen. We have jobs. We're faithful to that. You ever wake up on a Monday morning and think, I'd like not to go to work today? Nah, none of y'all. Sure, we've all felt that way. Especially if it's pouring down rain. Or some of you snowbirds, if there's, you know, 3 foot of snow out there and you got to go plow the driveway. Oh, but you know what? We do it. And we do that for things which are perishable. Isn't that true? But we get up every day. Every day. 40 years, 50 years, we put in on the job. Listen, why don't we do that with the eternal things of God? A crown of righteousness. The second crown is called the crown of life. This is given to those who are faithful to God, even unto death. Amen. Those who will put the Lord before themselves. Look in Revelation 2:10. The crown of life. I got to hurry here because I'm already behind in my time frame. 2:10. But you know, here's the thing. You know, when we come to these services, I promise you, I'm not trying to drag them out and see how long they can go. But I want to be obedient to God. I don't want to just come up here and say, okay, we're going to sing four songs, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do, everybody knows, 12 o'clock, set your watch, we'll be out. You know, I want to allow God to speak and to move. So I appreciate you allowing me that liberty. 2:10, notice he says here, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful unto the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, you know, most of us, we're never going to be in that situation. Probably we'll never be to the point of where we're in prison or we're facing the point of death. But I want to tell you what. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, there is a thing of dying daily. You know, sometimes it's easier to die once physically than it is to die day after day after day. Every day you deny yourself to serve God. You deny yourself to be faithful to God. Amen? I mean, that's like dying multiple deaths. You crucify that flesh and you say, he said, for those who are willing to do that, he says, you're going to get a crown of life. So there's two crowns already. Hallelujah. How, should we shoot for three? There is something called an incorruptible crown for those who live as disciplined soldiers of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said this. I want to encourage you because listen, you know, those of you who are already involved using your gifts here at Grace, and if you're visiting in your church, if you're using your gifts and you're being faithful there, and those of you who are praying about doing that, listen, you will have our heartfelt gratitude and thanks. You will. From the leadership of this church, from myself, from the elders, from the leaders, you will have our heart. But you know what? Whoop-de-doo, huh? I mean, that's good. I hope you appreciate that. We appreciate you. But you know what? There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. This is what I want you to understand. You will be working, what? For crowns. A crown of life. A crown of righteousness. And here, an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such way as to get the prize. Well, what's the prize? It's not salvation, because we're not running to be saved. You're saved by grace. He said, run to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get what? A crown that will not last, but we do it to get what? A crown that will last forever. He says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight a man like a guy that's shadow boxing or beating the air. No, he says, I put my body under and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I will not be disqualified of the prize. Man, the incorruptible crown. And listen, you have to discipline yourself. I mean, you know, the stuff is not saved yet. It's meat on the outside there. I mean, if it was, I'd still have all my hair. Hallelujah. I still have a six pack instead of a keg. If you're not sure what that is, ask somebody. Ask somebody who works out. Okay. See, is he talking about beer? See, that's your problem. Because that's not what I, it wasn't in my mind at all. If you think about drinking, that's your problem. I thought about somebody being in shape, you know, getting shape, man. Or not. Isn't that true? So there's an incorruptible crown. The fourth crown is called a crown of rejoicing. A crown of rejoicing. You know, here's the thing. In all of these crowns, salvation is free. But the crowns you have to earn. And you remember some years ago, there used to be a commercial on, I think it was about an auto parts thing, Napa, somebody like that provide auto parts, you know, and it would show somebody towing their car in, you know, and the mechanic's looking under it, and he said, man, this is going to cost you like, you know, $1,500 or $3,000, you know, and then they go on to make the point, if they had just been disciplined, you know, to change out the filter. So here's the thing, and it ended by saying this, you can pay me now, a little bit, or you can pay me later. Listen, yes, it will cost you now, but I'm going to tell you, on that day when Jesus is passing out the rewards and the crowns, and you've lived a life of selfishness, of just all about yourself, and only for today and for this life, I'm telling you what a price you'll pay. Yes, he'll wipe away the tears, but boy, what a regret. What a regret you'll have. So you can pay the price now or pay the price later. The crown of rejoicing is the soul winner's crown, also called the soul winner's crown. You can look in Psalm 126:6. I won't read it. Isaiah 66:8. But it talks about those who win souls are wise and they will shine like the stars. Man, I'm telling you what. And then the fifth crown that's mentioned in the scriptures, the crown of glory. And these are promised especially to all faithful shepherds and leaders and also to those who lift up their hands in support. Find this in 1 Peter 5:1-4, Matthew 10-41. You know, in the Tower of London, it holds the crown jewels of the royal family in England. And in among those crown jewels is the Queen's crown. Now listen to what's in the Queen's crown. This is what, you know, on very special occasions and all, coronation, other times, the Queen puts this on. Listen to this crown. It has 2,783 diamonds in it. 277 pearls. 18 sapphires. 11 emeralds and 5 rubies. Boy, can you imagine when that thing catches a light? Woo! But now listen, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man all the things God has prepared for them that love him. Can you, if an earthly crown looks like that, can you imagine what one of these crowns is going to look like? Oh my goodness. Oh, the splendor, the glory. And then you remember, and here's the climax here. Here's the purpose for the crowns. If you read in Revelations, you read about the great host. They're all worshiping before the throne. That great sea of glass. You've got the throne and him who sits on the throne. And all the 24 elders bow down. And all those holy angels are crying holy. And then it says what? It says they what? Cast their crown. Well, I don't want to be the only one that ain't got one. How am I going to participate in that great worship scene if I have no crown? And you know what? You, at that moment, you won't care how many houses you owned in this life. You won't care that you drove a Beamer or a clunker. It really won't matter. Will it? Luther said, today and that day. He said, that's on my to-do list. What's on yours? So I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let all the leaders, you're over an area and you've got a spot in the table. I'm going to let you go on while and I'm going to give a little instruction here, and then I'm going to dismiss you so you can go. Everybody else can go in the lobby. Listen, you think about it. Taking the gift God's given you. You say, but Pastor,